Our first speaker is Tim Denier, who is a lead analyst at ACT Research's Transportation Group, and he's a primary author for their ACT Freight Forecast. Tim, why don't you tell us what's happening in global logistics?
Thank you, Larry, and great discussion so far. And hello, everyone. As Larry said, I'm a freight and manufacturing analyst here at ACT Research, and you might know us if you follow the monthly data that we produce on North American Class 5 through 8 commercial vehicles, which covers, it's all the medium and heavy-duty truck and bus manufacturers, and we use that data to forecast a number of important variables, including truck production, freight rates, electric vehicle adoption rates, and pretty soon used truck prices. So I'll close with a few comments on electrification, but we'll start the story with in the supply chain and freight economics space here. There's been a lot of unprecedented shocks this year as a result of the pandemic, of course. I'll focus on the North America trucking and rail and the global ocean shipping markets. A key takeaway is how COVID has accelerated the cycle and swung pricing power back to asset owners who were suffering through a rough freight recession and rate downturn before the pandemic. Early in the first wave, there was an inventory drawdown as people stuffed their pantries, and then the shutdown halted economic activity, and the auto and truck plants were down for about 6 weeks as we figured out how to deal with the virus, or start to, And then, of course, we got the $2 trillion stimulus that drove a surge in goods spending, which was also a substitution away from services, which are largely unavailable in the economy right now, which, along with the subsequent reopening and restocking, has helped freight demand to recover really strongly. So on the supply side, there were two important shocks. Demand for heavy trucks was already weak because the industry had overcapacitized in 2018 and 19 into the trade war, which hammered freight demand. So when Class 8 production was brought to its knees in the second quarter with builds down 70% year over year, it actually helped clean up that overcapacity faster than normal. And now, because of the dynamics of this very durable fleet, that's going to be more important next year, where it's going to keep the fleet from growing too much and keep capacity relatively tight. But the more immediate shock is because when demand and rates plummeted in April during the shutdown, it created a driver shortage that's proving difficult to fix. I think the fact that only a quarter of the 100,000 or so for-hire trucking jobs that were lost in March and April have come back as of September, I think that's the main reason that spot rates for truckload shipments are now up about 48% year over year, net of fuel, which has never happened before. So driver shortages are partly cyclical, and this will eventually pass as driver pay has already started to go up. But re-engaging driver capacity this cycle, I think, will take longer than normal for a number of reasons, which include demographics, the Federal Drug and Alcohol Clearinghouse that started in January and already has 40,000 violations, constrained driver school capacity, and a strong construction market where one isn't required to take annual drug tests. Happy to expand on any of that in the Q&A, but one prediction I can make with confidence is that contract freight rates will be rising significantly over the next several quarters because that spot market is priced on a transactional basis every day, and it's a minority of the industry volumes, and it's an excellent leading indicator of the longer-term contract market, which isn't much longer term. It's only about a year. But I can also say with good conviction that spot rates will start to fall on a year-over-year basis in the second half of next year, but it's not clear to me if that's really the end of the cycle or just difficult comparisons, because even though we are forecasting Class 8 truck production to recover as quickly as ever in 2021, up 40% next year, that's still going to be about 20% below the peak in 2019, and it only adds about 2% to the highway fleet next year. So while the order rates do suggest that there's demand for even more production, the supply chain constraints always limit the speed of the production recovery. So I don't think we're going to be able to build much more than we're currently forecasting. But coming back to the demand side of freight, inventory restocking is driving a surge in container imports following the massive shock earlier in the year. While the inventory restock is at least partly temporary, I think there's going to be a secular tailwind to freight from inventory growth over the next few years because e-commerce is more inventory intensive because of next day delivery. And we don't expect the large share gains in e-commerce to reverse after the pandemic. So part of the inventory tailwind is more permanent. This is showing up at the ports, of course, where container imports have risen 34% from the bottom in May through August. We don't have the full September numbers, but it's looking similar. And they've swung from double-digit year-over-year declines for most of the year to about 8% growth in imports for the month of August and similar in September. though I would point out that container exports are still down 5 to 10% in the last few months, so exports have not recovered nearly as quickly. Just looking at September on the West Coast, Los Angeles and Long Beach, the largest port complex in the country, was up 16% year-over-year in September on loaded imports. And obviously this wave seems like it's likely to last through the holidays. so it does sort of confirm, to answer your question, Larry, on China getting back up and running, I would say yes. on the railroads, Q4 is on track, pun intended, to be the first positive quarter for volumes on a year-over-year basis over the past 8 quarters. So the freight recession is in the process of ending right now on the railroads. The recovery is being driven by food, grain, and most of all intermodal, and even auto is back to slightly up. But coal and petroleum are still down a lot. In fact, rail intermodal capacity is so tight right now that for those surging West Coast container imports, it's been effectively sold out since August when the Union Pacific slapped a $5,000 per load peak season surcharge on all non-contract West Coast imports. And as I mentioned, we've been in a pretty nasty freight recession for most of the past 2 years, so easy comps alone set us up for decent growth next year, and I think Q2 21 volumes will probably be up double digits compared to the shutdown on a year-over-year basis, with Class 8 tractor fleet that's going to be roughly the same size. So there's also a good chance that the industrial economy recovers next year after a couple of rough years, which could help offset the reversal of this services to goods substitution that we've experienced this year. So we do expect that to be a headwind in the second half of next year, assuming a vaccine is widely available. So I'm pretty optimistic overall on the freight cycle, and I think the strength of the industrial recovery, is a big variable, and certainly in no small part dependent on the election and trade policy. So there's we'll know more about that soon.
Okay, Tim, I'll come back to the Q&A in just a few minutes.